Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Thursday to you. Appreciate you rocking with us. 713-572-4610, the number to text, in addition to the Mo Karam and Drew Lawyers live streams, both on YouTube and the Twitch chat. Let's do a little progress report. Where are you with Nick Haley now, right? We've had some of these conversations at times after some of the low points for this offense particularly. I'm interested. Where are you now, especially after that Jags game where things came back around? Because Nick Haley, along with Matt Burke, Frank Ross, the coordinators talked yesterday. I know that that's a little bit odd. Usually it's a Thursday that they talk on a normal week. However, things were flipped around, I believe, to accommodate D'Amico Ryans, who we just learned gave the eulogy or a sort of eulogy at Earl Cochran's, I guess, celebration of life is what I've seen it termed as, basically. Which, again, you know, obviously condolences to all the people that for whom that loss matters a great deal. But Nick Haley talked yesterday, and, you know, there were some things that he kind of reflected on in his time at this point. Can you give me cut 13 here, Fig? Because in particular in this game, there was just kind of like a lot of conversation just about what happened with the comeback. But this question specifically is one that I think matters to us right now as we're trying to find that transition into the Titans game. Hey, Nick, is there anything that you did well against the Jags that you think you can carry over into this Titans game?
Well, I think the second half we played cleaner. We were more efficient. We were able to move the ball forward more consistently. I think the first half was just couldn't really stay out of our own way a little bit. You know, we got into some bad long yardage situations, which always makes it tough. Never could really get into a rhythm, I would say. So I think we were able to put some positive play. Not that the third quarter, there's been not many plays in the third quarter either, but, you know, being able to just continue to get positive plays, to continue to convert on third down and possession downs, and really just be able to operate our offense. And I thought that it was a testament to our guys really going out and executing. And you know, and doing a great job of that. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yes. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah. So you asked the question, where are you? And I'm gonna tell you where I am, because it's complicated, right? It's the old Facebook. It's complicated thing.
Okay.
I mean, you just heard him right there. Well, we weren't real good in the first half, getting in long distance. Weren't real good in the third quarter, but got it going in the fourth. I don't think they necessarily looked bad, other than those mistakes that he's referencing early on. They were just kind of shooting themselves in the foot, which is exactly what he said. So it's very, very complicated with Nick Haley. You got to love his stick-to-itiveness, as people like to say. We've talked about, you know, the energy and how hard he works, and, you know, certainly, you know, trusting his assistants, which is what he talked about as well yesterday, you know, the quarterback passing game things. But was something unlocked is ultimately going to be what's asked here.
And what's funny, but to go back to that particular quote, his answer seemingly is like, nah, like seemingly, because again, the question was, is there anything you saw you could take over? And it's just like, nah, just execution basically. And the fact that for a second in listening and reading the quote, I was like, am I reading too much in it? And then you get to the nothing more, nothing less. And that feels like hell of a punctuation as to what he's doing. You know, one thing, and this is an aside of sorts, one thing that I'm kind of interested in, and I understand why it's the case on both ends. There was a point in time late in Bobby Slowick's tenure where it felt like a lot of questions were being asked of players about Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of got the tone of tenor of how they were talking about him. I'd be very interested, even though early on there was a lot of real confidence from the players and confident speech about Nick Haley.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to see some of those questions arise again of the players and just see.
Well, let's see how it goes.
Right, right. And I guess that'll give us some feeling of it. But part of the reason why I get to this place is there's really good reason to look at Nick Haley and say that he's definitely done some things and he's come along. I even look at FTN Fantasy, which, you know, my guy Aaron Schatz, who does a good job of like getting some more of this deeper analytics. They have metrics where they kind of rank play callers or they play calling like and they manage to quantify it. And I still don't fully understand it. However, when looking at it, the Texans offensive defensively clearly is much higher when you call the play caller rankings or whatever. Offensively, it was pretty average, right about, which, again, feels better than what it at least had felt like with Nick Haley when it felt like he was entirely out of his depths.
Mm-hmm.
You take that. I take a man who's played in this league in Clint Sterner, who on the drive said that this was
just effusive.
Effusive in his praise of Nick Haley, particularly in his game and his game planning and his game calling. And me personally, like even – I take these people that I trust maybe even higher sometimes than myself, but then I put it on with my eye test, and I'm like, I've seen in watching this game, watching it back and watching it live, the places where him as a play caller put defenses in a tough circumstance in a situation.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel better, but I think I might fall in line with Tate on the YouTube page who says, need to see more consistency in order for me to feel good. Does that feel right to you?
Yes, 100%. It, like I said, it is very complicated because of that. You know, the shooting of in your own foot in the first half and not really getting it done in the third quarter, that we've questioned, are they just putting it on the players? But no, part of it is absolutely the play calling. Absolutely.
Well, this game, I don't know how much, because you remember I went through and I looked at what were the plays that killed their first five drives, which really very much, by that point, you were in the hole, in addition to like some special team stuff that happened that didn't help you. I mean, it is fumbled snap. It is not picking up, you know, stunts or getting into these situations where you're being sacked. It's, you know, being down and distance absolutely factored in. It actually, in this game, early on, very, very early on, first few drives, it did not feel necessarily as much on the play calling. Like, this was a game where them getting down did not feel like it was as much a play calling thing. Now, there were some decision-making things when you talk about the offensive line, and we'll get deeper into that I'm sure did not help to a large degree. This didn't feel like a playmaking thing. And so I'm trying to find, because very early on in this season, relatively at least I should say, I got to a place where I was like, oh, this dude's out of his depth.
Yeah.
I don't feel quite like that anymore.
That's interesting because I think there is always a play calling element into plays going bad. Now, outside of Davis Mills just dropping the ball, that one is not, oh, horrible play call. It can't even be. But a lot of times when you get in these third and long situations, it's not just execution. It's the execution can be blamed because the play call was not right for what the defensive look was. You know what I'm saying? So I think it all ties in together.
So this was an interesting question asked of Nick Haley yesterday. How much has your vision on the sidelines, watching the plays developed since week one? Because we know he was trying to make that decision. Is he going to be in the booth? Is he going to stay on the sideline? How is that? How much has that changed since week one?
Yeah, no, I feel good. I mean, I feel like anything else, it's, you know, the more reps you get into it, like anything else, the better off it is. And but I feel good. I feel good about being able to see it. I feel good about the communication that we have within a staff. That's what the staff's for too. I mean, we have good dialogue, good communication. We solve problems together, and that's what a staff does. So got a really good staff, good people. We've got coaches and players that are connected that communicate well on the sideline and get good feedback, and we solve problems. You know, look at the pictures, see what we had on the live takes, and be able to see how we want to move forward, you know, from series to series. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you get some unscouted looks. Sometimes it's more similar to what you thought you were going to get, and you go from there. But I feel good about the communication. I feel good about the approach and the vantage point, definitely.
This felt really transparent.
It felt transparent, but was that encouraging? Well, again, it goes back to, boy, I, you know, a lot of complicated things going through your mind here, because on the one, yes, he's very transparent and honest, and that's what you want, right? You know, he's like, it's basically saying, it's coming along, and I'm like, that's not exactly what we want to hear.
Well,
but on the other hand, not only is that not good, but you also feel like he does feel like he's got a better grasp of things.
Yes.
You know?
It definitely feels like
it's coming along.
And I kind of did. Well, I mean, here's the thing. If he was like, yeah, we're fully there, that would be less encouraging. The idea that it's coming along, you can see some improvement. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that seems to track with what he's saying there is interesting. On top of that, the idea that he basically unsolicited
yeah.
started talking about like the team, the offensive staff.
Mm-hmm.
That I found very interesting because it feels very much, one, it's a clear juxtaposition to what we had last year with Bobby Slowick, at least what we kind of got in a retrospect when it comes to him and his ability to leverage the various other repositories of knowledge that he mm-hmm. had around him. This feels like very clearly, oh, no, we are solving all of these problems together because you kind of need to. Yeah. But I kind of appreciate that because it does feel like they're finding better answers, and it seems like it might be in part because they're leaning heavily into all of the answers that various guys, whether it's Shaplinsky or Gerard Johnson or Bill Lazor, it feels like they're doing a better job of tapping into that. And I hope that's why they were better in the red zone this week.
So glad you brought that up. Remember, just last week, D'Amico was saying, we got to change something.
Yeah.
Like, flat out.
Yeah.
We got to change something. I heard this, and I'm glad you brought it up, because I'm like, that's what they're changing. Whether it was per D'Amico's orders or Nick Caley, who's obviously been worked very well with all those three guys that you mentioned, saying, "All right, what do you guys think about the passing game approach? You know, against the Jaguars, and maybe leaning more into that, maybe accepting more, using that more." I feel like that was very, very key, and that actually is encouraging because you've heard me say it. You know, not only did D'Amico say we got to change something, I flat out wondered, is he in over his head? And when I say that, I've meant the passing game because he's a tight end guy, he's a run game guy, it's what the offense is, et cetera. So I'm wondering if maybe that is the most encouraging thing, able to take on some of these passing minds, you know, passing game minds, and using them.
Yeah, and using them to good effect.
Yes.
It does, though, make me question, and again, there's a lot of reading into it that we're doing right now, so there's a possibility that we just might be too deep in the sticks here,
mm-hmm.
but it's week 10?
It's going into week 11.
Is this mm-hmm. to maybe say that the lack of full effect that we've seen or that, you know, to this point is in part because they had not found that rapport and they had not been mm-hmm. able to dig deep into their abilities all the way around and get the most out of it? Is that what we're saying here?
I mean, maybe, being able to, we always said, you know, it'd be 4 or 5 weeks. Well, it's now 10, and it finally seems to be something that they might be grasping, just the dynamic in the offensive room.
From the 3-4-6, I won't be impressed with the OC until we win a game that's tight the whole time, like the Rams, the Bucks. Okay.
I don't disagree too much.
There's still some hurdles for I think, fully impressed. Mm-hmm. from myself, but I have to give him some credit. And I mean,
and by the way, red zone was better.
Red zone was not just better. Red zone was damn good.
3 out of 4.
Red zone was damn good. Yeah. In that moment.
How much of that was him? How much was it? What we're talking about here is collaboration. Is this becoming a better collaborative offensive game plan? And even though he's the one ultimately making the calls, like on the field, other people put in those passing plays for each opponent. Did he collaborate more on, we're going to do more of this? They put in a red zone package. In fact, didn't Davis Mills say after his big run that was a repeat? So when it broke down, I knew I could make that run. So is there more collaboration there?
Whatever it is, yeah. Right? Whether it's collaboration, whether he took a step up, the results were significantly better. If you can replicate with whatever process that they had, replicate or have some mm-hmm. level of replication of the results at the very least in that fourth quarter, you're setting yourself up for a path of those games that we're looking forward to. You have opportunities, you have chances, and then maybe you can get in the playoffs and ultimately rectify whatever the beginning of this season was. That's what I'm invested in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why that particular answer meant something to me, because it felt like, okay, this is something I could circle as to, okay, tangible change. Because you go back to that first one,
mm-hmm.
and what he's saying is, oh, well, they just executed. That doesn't feel like something where I go, okay, that's mm-hmm. something that's going to be a big change. That second one, though,
yeah.
The idea that, oh, yeah, well, I'm finding more comfort. It feels like we have, you know, some real good collaboration and we're doing that. That feels like it's something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That feels like that's something that can be leaned on. Although, you know me, it wouldn't be me if I didn't find something that made me go, can you give me this cut three here, Fig? What went into Woody Marks taking the bulk of the snaps here?
Yeah, well, I think it goes with, you know, everything. You know, you go into a game and you sit there and you try to, you know, you try to have balance in a variety of ways for all the right reasons. And sometimes, you know, you get into a rhythm and he played well and he was playing well down the stretch. And I think they both compliment him and Nick both compliment each other. So he did well. You know, it's hard to say how every game's going to go. Sometimes it doesn't go the way you want it to, but he did a great job. And, you know, I thought played consistent throughout the game and happy with his performance for sure.
Yeah, that there is no questioning. He was also asked about, you know, his ability to take as many snaps as he did versus previous games. There's no question in my mind. When D'Amico said something's got to change, we got to change something. I think he was looking specifically at Woody Marks and maybe some of the, you know, the offensive attack, the play calling, the passing game.
Are you sure there though? Because that very much sounded like the circumstances of the week dictated him having a majority of the
snaps.
Yeah, but that they might do this thing where they flip this thing back around again.
I don't think so. That's very Patriots 101.
Okay.
You know, we're a game plan offense, et cetera. I think you're going to see more of Woody Marks.
That I'm not going to lie. I really hope that you are correct in that. Mm-hmm. But again, I've been hurt before.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hurt before with some of these games being like, oh, yeah. It feels like they found something, they go back.
Oh, we all have.
And that particular statement sounded, it hit my ear at least,
yeah.
As the circumstances of the week dictated that he have more snaps. But only God knows what happens, right, another week or next week. And so that's one of those things that I think I'm continuing to sit with. But ultimately, when it comes to the progress report on Nick Caley, I think we're trending forward, right? Mm-hmm. We are definitely trending forward, which again is a good thing, especially when you have a defense that looks like it's also in a place where it will absolutely shut you the bleep down. So I understand there's some people that are like absolutely need to be better 1 yard on offense. Still, right? Still want to see something better, right? When you compare Slowick to Caley, they need to recognize that Slowick had Tunsil and Stephon Diggs and Tank and Joe Mixon, where maybe if Tank Dell is available or something, sure, like that, this looks different. All of those things fair. But I think the progress report largely, even if it's not a huge change forward, it clearly feels like there's a change forward for this offense. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions, and we'll do those next on Sports Radio 610.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Yeah, this is another one of those where I'm like, should I? And of course I always say, yeah, go ahead and do it. All right, so Figgy, I saw a tweet this morning. Well, Figgy and Reggie, but this seems like it's kind of in your wheelhouse.
It's fine, I'm busy anyways.
This is a term that you've used in the past. I saw a tweet this morning, and it only had two elements to it. It said, Carly Ursay Gordon, period, hear me out.
All right. Okay.
And the confession is I went like, yeah, I could kind of see that.
I'm surprised you just saw that, man. They've been talking about that the last 2 or 3 weeks.
I know, but half the time you see a picture of her and she looks like the crazy ex-girlfriend meme, you know? And then half the time you're like, all right.
What are we doing here? I thought all the Carly Ursay Gordon conversation was about, like, look at her being a,
well, it was,
being
it
a manager, stepping down to the level of her employees and understanding what they do.
And that's where I've been. Mm-hmm. That's where I've been. Like, sure. In these conversations we've had about the Colts owner, by the way, if you didn't know, or president, whatever it is, not president. Anyway, she's in charge.
Would you say she was a governor of sorts?
No, not a governor. Definitely not that. I've always, like, I respect what she's doing. That's awesome. You know, you got to give her a lot of credit. But when I saw that this morning, I went, they might not be wrong. they might not be wrong. Yes or no?
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure.
Hear me out?
Yeah. All right. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah? I was kind of embarrassed.
I think that is a good hear me out, though, because a lot of times I feel like it's getting played out now. Like, yeah. I don't want to hear me out for Rihanna or hear me out for Beyonce or something like that.
Yeah.
Is it a good hear me out?
That's right. Look.
She's a 45-year-old rich woman.
But like, the pictures is what I'm saying that are
posted. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean,
sometimes you're like, oh.
It's a lot of 45-year-old probably rich women or kind of women that you wouldn't mess around with. You say, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. I'm talking about, like, just even beyond, like, not even including the rich part. I mean, that's
well, no, it's not even, yeah, but I'm, yeah, my, yeah. My point of bringing up the rich part is that she has the resources to help make herself.
But I'm saying, like, just if you saw her.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So not crazy? Because I was kind of like, yeah, maybe. But then I saw another picture and I went, ooh.
I don't think it's crazy. I do think it's, for a lot of fellas, it's kind of attractive seeing her on the sidelines and just making moves and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's just a random woman.
Right.
Sitting there. I think it's the whole
part of it, yeah.
Ownership thing, being on the sideline with the headset and all that stuff. I think that's kind of where the hear me out come from, too.
All right.
It's one of the things that I have always maintained that I hated the most about the about the Last Dance documentary that came out in 2020 with Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls,
right.
Is that everybody, well, not everybody, but so many people's takeaway was, oh, you have to be a psychopath to be an incredible athlete. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, no. Confession is, I might be leaning a little bit further into that. This was, I don't even remember what the name of the podcast was, but Aaron Donald and Matthew Stafford, former teammates, they were together, and Matt Stafford was telling a little bit of a story about Aaron Donald and him and his meetup with a Make-A-Wish kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's why Aaron Donald is so good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
There was this kid that was a Make-A-Wish kid, and he had beaten cancer at this point, and he was like a healthy high school kid at this point. It was awesome. He got to come in, and his dream was he wanted to hang out with AD and work out with AD for the day. AD is like, hey, man, if you're going to do it, you're keeping up with me. Like, I am, like, letting you down. And he destroys this kid. He's puking in the trash can in the hallway from bicep curls. That's how many bicep curls they did. This kid threw up. From bicep curls. This is just torture for this kid. He's trying to be like, yeah, this is great. I'm with AD. This is so much fun. Inside, he's just bubbling, man. It was a tough day for the kid.
Classic lesson. Be careful what you wish for.
You got to push him sometimes, man. It's a little work. A little work can never hurt nobody, man. It's all right.
He got better that day. He got better that day.
He did.
That's how we gonna say.
He did.
He's abusing a cancer kid.
Man, you hear it? He's a psychopath. That's
the real version of the Dave Chappelle skit when he's playing a little boy in, NBA Streets or something like that, and start whooping his ass.
Or Peyton Manning throwing the footballs at those little kids.
The United Way commercial. That was a Saturday Night Live, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's taking their heads off.
But this is real life. Yeah. I didn't know that you could throw up from bicep curls.
Well, apparently you can if you work out like Aaron Donald.
What a sicko.
But the other part of that kid probably now, it was horrible in the moment, is like, that was the best thing ever. He'll never, ever, ever, ever forget that.
Why does it work like that? Yeah. It's like traumatic stories end up being cute.
That dude almost the longer killed me, longer man. Way. Aaron yeah, man. Donald almost killed me.
Cancer couldn't do it. Aaron Donald tried to, though.
But the thing is, if he talking to his buddies, he'd be like, man, I worked out with Aaron Donald. That is no joke. I'm telling you, you do not want to work out with him instead of old little soft type of workout. It's like, nah, I worked out with him. Imagine somebody saying, I spar with Mike Tyson, man. No, you do not want to do that. Not a little soft little spar.
I did think, and as I was listening to this, I was like, at what point in all of this did this kid realize, should I use my Make-A-Wish on somebody else?
How about Disney World?
Yeah, I mean, should I use my Make-A-Wish on somebody else?
If I'm going to throw up, it's at least going to be on a roller coaster.
I got to confess, man, I was debating on doing something, and I didn't know if it was going to be too much or not, but now I'm kind of leaning into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my dog Jackson a nice little grooming, gave him a mullet.
You gave your dog a mullet?
Yeah.
What does a dog mullet look like?
It looks super cool, man. search it up right now.
Looks like a mullet.
Did you post it?
Yeah, I posted it. Just search dog mullet, just period. They are so cool, man. I can't get over this. And it's a little early in the stage.
What? Look at these things.
It's a little early in the stage, but I'm really invested in getting his mullet up to par, though, man.
Where did you post
dog mullet?
Yeah.
I posted it on my Instagram at TheFiggyFig.
Just
the
because
story.
You think it looks cool, some of these dogs' mullets are funny. They're freaking hilarious.
I'm like, man, why don't people give their dogs mullets at this point, man? I think that's a great that's a great idea, man. That give your dog so much personality, man.
Well, it gives them a personality. It does definitely do that.
Did you also get him a natty light or something? I'm so confused.
Hey, man, you got to look out for your dog, man. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure he look fly.
Does he?
Is that what? I've never heard look fly and mullet in the same sentence. Exactly. Not never.
But you never heard it on a dog, though, man. What a cool on the dog. I can't give him a box cut. I can give him some locks, but I ain't about to do that.
Yeah.
Why are we giving him human haircuts? Why can't he just have a dog trim like normal?
This is like the first step. There's still going to be
progress. So I got to let it grow out a little bit.
You're sticking with this?
I'm sticking with this.
So in a couple of months, he's going to look like a dog with a mullet.
Yeah.
Joe Dirt the dog version.
And I'm telling you, he's going to get all the hoes too. Take him to the dog park. I bet you he's going to get all the attention over here.
I put money that the dog girl, that the lady dogs don't like the dog mother.
Yeah, not from poodles.
I feel like they got better discernment than that.
I bet you the human's going to like it though.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah. When he start going viral, don't say nothing now.
Going viral. Jackson going to get his own account.
Unbelievable.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So, Nico Harrison, we talked about it a couple of days ago when he got fired. Got me thinking about something.
Okay.
And I got to confess, I started thinking about, all right, who's the most stable might be a little bit of a weird word. Who's on the strongest and weakest footing of Houston general managers?
Huh.
Mm.
It might be Caserio.
Strongest or weakest?
Weakest.
Well, I mean, all right.
I might have to say Dana might be Brown.
Dana might be on weak footing.
It's either Caserio or Dana Brown.
I think it is Dana who would be on weak footing. I know that he's relatively early into his tenure, but I think the reason why I go there is they are actively cleaning the way that they operate.
But Dana is doing it.
Sure.
So that's why I think he, and that's what made me think of it. Like, he's gaining, it's clear he has the trust of Jim Crane. Three hitting coaches yesterday, all the cleaning stuff. But not him. He's making these hires.
Well, but the thing about it is, when you're the one making those hires, you're doing those things. Next time when we come to look at things, mm-hmm. ain't nobody else to look at but you.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he has strength right now. He has more strength right now, Dana Brown. And I didn't know that was going to be the case. I would have
easily. And Nick Caserio don't?
I think Nick Caserio, we've talked about it last week. Trending down,
but I feel like Nick Caserio do have the trust of that organization though. Like, yes, this year is a bad year,
yeah.
or a worse year than his other couple mm-hmm. years. And yes, he did have some bad draft picks. We could point at him,
mm-hmm.
but I still feel like he got the trust from the Menares and all that. So I'm not.
I do, but there are a lot of things that people are starting to talk about as we are. And seeing in some maybe some cracks here and there, you know.
Yeah, I think I probably still will go with Dana. I don't think there's anybody for whom it's imminent. But what's very clear is Rafael Stone is made in the shade, big dog. Like Rafael Stone is in a fantastic place.
I thought he was going to be out of here a couple years ago. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie to you, man.
I'm with you.
And that's a reminder of how quick things can change. But I mean,
and I feel like all the GMs kind of had that moment at one point too, where you'd be like, you kind of looking funny in the light.
Yeah.
And then they just, it's like everybody trying to fight for first place at some point.
No, I agree.
Nah, that's it. That's an interesting thought. I think it probably is in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It goes Rafael Stone with a bullet.
Yeah.
And then Caserio, then Dana Brown. Someone else jumps in on the text line making mention of the fact that the Astros have won fewer and fewer games with Dana Brown.
Sure.
Yeah, because I feel like if they miss the playoffs again this year or have a disappointing year again, mm-hmm. I do feel like that might be the end of it.
I think also the question
we tend to forget all these moves that we criticize and the expectations that we had.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Ain't anybody forgetting that.
Yeah, no, I ain't forgetting that at all. I think we're talking about it more now because they're not having a great year this year.
Mm-hmm. And the question I will ask in just, you know, furthering that, which ownership group do you feel like has the faster trigger?
Right.
Between
not
the Texans.
It's not the Menares.
It's not the Texans.
That's why I
think
feel
it'd
like,
be Crane.
Yeah.
I feel like he got the faster trigger.
And that might be the most crucial thing.
Yeah, he let go of a World Series GM. he let James Click go after winning the World Series.
Right.
Well, James Click has some other stuff happening as well. Right. That wasn't just
he let
that,
him
but
go.
You're right.
He let him go though. Mm-hmm. He got the quicker trigger.
Yeah. All right. Somebody said, Figgy, you could have said your dog will get all the... Well, yeah, FCC. Don't want to do that. All right. Appreciate you rocking with us here. A little bit of a in-loop lunchtime confessions. Coming up next on a Thursday, we will do some buy or sell. Are you buying what these various folks in sports are trying to sell you? 713-572-4610. Play along. Let's have some fun with it next. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. There's some important notes from practice that we'll get to as we continue on with the program on a Thursday here, and we'll be giving away a four-pack of tickets to see University of Houston Cougars take on TCU. But before we do any of that, let's do a little buy or sell.
Let's do a little buy or sell. Let's go back before we move forward, and that is Sunday's game. Sunday's big comeback win. The legendary Davis Mills.
I'm all for comeback wins right now, John Lopez.
Yeah, I guess you are. Shout out to Nigeria.
Thank you. Thank you.
So D'Amico Ryans was asked about winning Sunday's game against the Jaguars. And among a bunch of other things, he actually did say, never a doubt in my mind. Never a doubt in my mind. You buying or selling that?
No. No. Even if I, like, you know, normally I'll try and get in the mind where, like, all right,
maybe this,
you gotta have that belief if you're on that sideline. It's never gonna happen if you don't start with believing. But you mean to tell me there wasn't a little moment, D'Amico,
never a doubt in my mind,
where you were down 17 immediately, or even once you got down 26 or 29, 19 points is what it was.
Or just going into that fourth quarter,
where you weren't just like, damn, I don't know if we're gonna get hell. Y'all ended up on fourth and game at one point.
Yeah, about fourth and two. You're talking about
fourth and two, where you thankfully great play, you know, little yo-yo motion, and then you know, send Jalen Knoll out on an arrow route on the flats. Like, yeah, it was a good play call.
Never a doubt, Reggie.
There had to be a little bit. Had to be a little, just a little smidgen in there. I'm not trying to say that he doubted his boys in a large degree. He had to have believed, because ultimately they came back. I think there was a doubt definitely, because he came out in that post game and he was like, man, it feels great. I'm like, people don't act like that when it's just like, yeah, I expected this. They're like, woo, yeah, we did that. Just because you expected it. Come on, you doubted a little bit.
Yeah, I'm selling it too, man. It's hard for me to believe that. I'm just imagining that moment, you thinking, man, I think it's over. If you get a couple plays, like, oh, wait a minute. Now we got a chance. But going into that fourth quarter,
never a doubt.
Yeah, I think it was a little tiny bit of doubt right there.
What was there, almost 70,000 people in that stadium? One person never had a doubt.
You said almost 70,000?
Oh, because it was empty. You know, a lot of people didn't show up.
How much does NRG seat?
72, right?
And you think there was almost 70,000?
Almost 50,000 people in that stadium.
Okay, I was like, my math, I'm not the best.
Sounds like a Taylor Swift concert, man. That's
right. He had that joint packed up.
I do believe that he is of the mind, as we all know, next play, you know, all that stuff. But never doubt in my mind, I'm selling that too. All right, you buying or selling this? This is a big one. This really is a big one. Dana Brown said this week, we haven't talked about trading Christian Walker. Walker's our everyday first baseman. He will get some time off. We'll play Paredes there.
So I feel like this is the answer he has to give in this moment, though. I think they definitely would, because one, let's start here. Bob Nightingale not just out here talking to talk.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think that that's the case. Secondly, I do believe that they would like to maybe get off of that money, especially with the production not being there for Christian Walker. Mm-hmm. However, it's obvious that in order to get rid of him and maybe not have to give, you know, pay for all that money or a lot of that money, mm-hmm, it's not going to be an easy sell. Walk with me now down the realm of possibility. If he gets out there, Dana Brown, and says, oh, yeah, we're trying to trade him, and you just can't get nobody to take him.
Sure. Sure.
Right now, it's like your first baseman, mm-hmm, for your Astros, the dude we said we wanted to trade. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So I think because of how I think it's a little bit tough to, mm-hmm, make that move, you have to say that way.
Yeah, I'm selling it for the same reason.
I'm selling that as well. Exactly what Reggie said. We don't need to add to anything that he said there. But this one is another Dana Brown, a little 1-2 punch from Dana Brown here on buy or sell. Just because it made me laugh, because we've had this discussion before, and he is a statistics whiz, so clearly I'm biased on this one. But he did say that Isak Paredes is, quote, about 65% recovered from his hamstring.
I love this so much. Because first and foremost,
65. What was it like last one was like 57 or something?
I do appreciate that because I feel like way too often when people give these, let's be honest, arbitrary numbers, it's always nice around.
Yeah.
So it ain't never like 23% loading. It's never that. Never 74.
Yeah.
Just all.
You did it with Jordan's hand, right?
I think he said like 57. It was a weird one, and we laughed about that one.
So I do appreciate that he does that, but like.
65.
Isn't Dana Brown the dude who just this week said that, yeah, we're taking a big look at all of our return to baseball because we felt like dudes came back too early?
Yeah.
You already did all that you did all that, and now you know that 65% is absolutely it, huh, right?
Did he get that from the old medical staff or what?
Is there a new medical staff? Like, where is this coming from?
The smartest doctor in the world, or athletic trainer, whatever, how do they differentiate between 60 and 70% healed? Like, but he landed on 65% healed.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. And it feels kind of silly, but silly in a way that I think I can appreciate. Right?
Yeah,
now.
I'm not buying it either.
Just funny. It's just funny. All right, you buying or selling this? Mike Elko.
Can I ask you something before you, and I know that I'm cutting into the time here.
Come on, man.
Who cares?
Isak Barreda is at first base. Like, are you?
Yes.
You're all in on that?
Yeah, I think so. Aren't you?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I'm interested in that if they do move off from Christian Walker.
Yeah, I am. So Mike Elko, everybody's favorite coach, he was asked about, did you see this? He was making the rounds Monday and Tuesday. So a really good tackle. He's probably going to be drafted. Caden Green from Missouri. They asked him after the game about, you know, the A&M defense and all that stuff and their Missouri's bad second half offensively. And he said that at times the Aggie defense knew what was coming, what play was coming. But he didn't say, like, you know, they cheated or whatever. Maybe they did. But he didn't say it. He's like, they just had scouted us so well. They were calling out our calls and all this other stuff. And so it made a lot of news in college football. Like, they knew what plays were coming. And Mike Elko said, quote, "I don't know anything about that."
I'm selling it because of the way he said it.
Yeah. And he smiled afterwards.
The way he said it made me go, okay. Because
Did you see the video? He kind of went, "I don't know anything about that."
Yeah. Like, there are ways that I think you can answer. And again, I end up being somebody that reads a lot into things. Mm-hmm. I could easily be wrong. It'd be like that sometimes. It very well could just be like, yeah, I mean, like, just normal processes. We were able to, you know, pick up and reads and know what was, you know, have the right play calls in or whatever. He ain't say none of that. He was just like, I plead the fifth, Your Honor.
Yeah, this is very much Ty Bowles. Oh, we didn't let them run into and score on purpose. That's exactly what it was. I'm selling.
It's the way he said it. I don't know anything about that. Like, what? Really? They said that?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, they said
no.
That. we got some audio here. Now, you know what? Let me do the Frank Ross one first because this was just funny to me. He was asked in his press conference yesterday about the challenges that the Titans pose. How many games have the Titans won?
A single solitary one.
One win.
Correct.
His quote, "They play spirited," which is like they've got a good personality. What are the challenges they pose? They play spirited.
That's right. Not even they play hard. Spirited.
Spirited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to find a nice thing to say. That is very much great personality. That is, as I've talked about a number of times, that is, well, you know, he just great glue guy. You know what I mean? We just trying to find something nice to say because we got to say something about him.
Hard worker.
Yeah, I'ma just buy it because I don't know what the hell spirited means. What do that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean in that context? Yeah.
I'ma take his word for it. They probably do play spirited.
Yeah, I'ma sell it anyway.
With an interim head coach, they play spirited.
This one to me was a very fascinating one, and we got some audio that's going to go with it. So Joe Maddon was on a podcast, and Tony Vitello, a really good college baseball coach back then. Now he's the manager of the New York Giants. Straight out of college to the major leagues, and this is what Joe Maddon said.
But, you know, quite frankly, I'm using the word insulting only from the perspective that it appears as though you don't have to have any kind of experience on a professional level to do this job anymore. Because when I was coming up, you had to have all that. You had to, like, go through the minor leagues. You had to ride your buses. I was a scout. I started in 1981. I finally got a managerial job in 2006. I mean, there was a rite of passage, a method to get to that point. So to think that somebody could just jump in there and do what you took 20 some years to be considered qualified to do, it is kind of insulting.
Is that, you buying that it is insulting?
I am buying that.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think Joe Maddon is just one of the more interesting and better minds that we've had mm-hmm. managing baseball. But I'm utilizing my experience in NFL versus college football. Mm-hmm. And the same reason why when Deion Sanders jumps in to college football and kind of seems to want to mm-hmm. go opposite of conventional wisdom, or more specifically when you get Lombardi and Belichick jumping in and thinking, well, because I've done it at this one type of football, I can do it at this other. You have to have respect for the uniqueness of this. And one thing that we know when it comes to college football, that is about double-A baseball level of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It is wild to think. I understand even in a very good manager that knows how to do that, that they can come in with all of the responsibilities that a manager has at the baseball at the major league level, mm-hmm. even though that shifted a little bit, and know how to handle all those things on top of the tremendous, tremendous competition that's at the highest level. I think Joe Maddon says it. I understand that it comes from like a little bit of an old fart perspective, but there is something to be said for understanding the major league game
mm-hmm.
And what it entails before you step into that role where all the responsibilities on your shoulders.
Yeah, I'm actually going to buy it on his part too, because, I mean, baseball is an old fart type of sport, man. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of dinosaurs that's kind of stuck in their ways. That's probably, I guess that's the best way to put it. And I don't know. I've never seen anything like this before.
I first of all, I don't think it's going to really work. And I really respect Vitello. He's a really good college coach. But I'm buying it as well. Because and to your point about the old farts and all that stuff, Figgy and Reggie, he actually, Joe Maddon was very much committed to analytics and data and all that. He evolved into very much committed to that. So it's not about that.
No. What I mean by old fart is I'm kind of like the same thing with the NFL. Like, you can't just go from a player to a head coach. You got to work the ranks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
feel like MLB is probably that one where you really got to work the ranks. You got to start in minor league and double it. You got to really work your way up. We never seen nobody go from, you know,
college.
We never seen nobody rise that quick like that.
Yeah, and I guess maybe old fart wasn't the right way to say it, but sometimes, you know, older generations or very people that have gone before are like, well, you can't cut the line because I had to go through all the muck. And sometimes mm-hmm. that rings kind of hollow or like hating. I don't think this is hating. I feel like this very much has some validity to it.
I agree.
So there you go. That's a little buy or sell here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I think this has context here, but they just say Lopez is a dinosaur. What kind? Which one? You think, is he a stegosaurus? Is he a brontosaurus? Let me know. 832-713-572-4610. That is also the number to call if you would like to win a 4-pack of tickets to see the University of Houston Cougars take on TCU next week. All you got to be is caller number 8 right now, 713-572-4610, and you will win that 4-pack of tickets to see University of Houston Cougars. Of course, that is courtesy of the University of Houston. But again, caller number 8, 713-572-4610, and you'll get to watch the Cougars take on TCU next week. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we've had a lot of conversation about the offensive line. Does anybody know what the best five is and when it's going to actually happen for this Texans team? 713-572-4610, we discuss it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.